Well, good morning, everyone. Let's bow our heads and have a prayer together as we come to look at God's Word. Father God, we thank you for this season of Advent, and we pray today that we might learn something fresh from what is a familiar passage to us. May we rejoice like Mary. And we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Holding back the tide of Christmas, as I'm trying to do, it's the fourth Sunday of Advent, and we're going to be looking at Mary's song. Excuse me. First of all, Micah sets the scene. You might like to follow along in the order of service here with the headings I've got. I hope they're helpful to you. Don't worry about Micah, I'll read those verses out, but you might like to have your Bibles open at Luke chapter 1 and page 1026. So let's let Micah set the scene for us. Verse 1, "But you, O Bethlehem, small as you are among Judah's tribe, from you will come one who will be ruler over Israel, and whose origins are from ancient times." So said this rural 8th century prophet, Micah, the prophet Micah in the Old Testament reading. He sees a time way, way into the future when God's promise will be marvelously come to pass and wonderfully fulfilled. And I can't help thinking, verse 3, "Therefore Israel will be abandoned until the time comes when she who is in labor gives birth." We straightway think of Mary, of course. And so the first heading, Mary, the chosen one, Luke chapter 1, have a look down at those verses, 39 to 45. In fact, you might like to glance at the earlier verses in chapter 1. We read that in the face of this extraordinary call from God, Mary dares to ask a question: why am I so favored? She just doesn't accept mindlessly or immediately, but she does accept. I think it's worth saying that we should have the right attitude towards Mary. Perhaps we have school nativity plays to blame for the wouldn't say boo to a goose kind of Mary. Some would say Mary showed almost reckless trust, yet at the same time she was supremely humble. We should avoid making more of Mary or less of Mary than the Bible allows us. The Mary of medieval art seems to me way, way off the mark. Mary is not co-intercessor or co-anything else with Christ, but she is very important. To say yes to God, you must be deeply rooted in faith. Mary was willing, and God made her able. And that's worth having in our minds this morning for ourselves. If we are willing, God will make us able. With the news that our elderly cousin was pregnant, Mary threw a few things in a bag, it seems, and rushes off to be with Elizabeth. And you can imagine that scene. You can imagine them dancing around the room with joy. Such was their joy that Mary stayed 3 months. Thankful as she is that God has done such great things in her life, it's not for her blessing alone that the son should be born of her. She too sees into the future that Luke says in chapter 2 and verse 35, a future that would pierce her soul with grief. So there's a backdrop there. How precious their relationship, Mary and Elizabeth. We all need to be part of relationships like this one. A place where joys and sorrows are safely shared and the exchange of truth spoken in love. And as you read Luke's narrative in the whole chapter, we marvel with Mary and Elizabeth. We marvel at the wonderful work of God the Holy Spirit. Mary, very much the chosen one. So let's have a look at Mary's song, shall we? Look down at verses 46 to 55. I wonder what your favourite song might be. And if I had better hearing, I would ask you to call out some, but I won't hear them. I wonder if you've got a favourite song, and whether music and singing and songs are important in your life. They certainly are in me. I wonder what your favourite song is. I wonder what the bestseller list says about the most well-sold, well-loved song. Well, you won't be surprised, of course, that number one is Bing Crosby's song, White Christmas, okay? It's the best-selling single of all times. Can you imagine? It sold 50 million records. Now, if you're interested, next comes Elton John, Candle in the Wind. That was 33 million. And Bill Haley and the Comets, Rock Around the Clock. That was 25 million. And Whitney Houston, I Will Always Love You. And Elvis Presley, don't forget Elvis, It's Now or Never, 20 million each of those. Anyway, in the Bible, Mary's song must surely be number one for us. The song sometimes is called the Magnificat. It's not only a song for and about herself and her people, it's a song for us as well. It's a song of adoration towards God, her Saviour. Stop and think about that for a moment. At this point, she is able to say, God is her Saviour. So my and me feature early on in the song. And what does that tell us? It tells us that this was Mary's experience and her testimony, and that testimony can be our experience and our testimony as well. And a challenge comes with that. Even for a conversion of the heart. And in this, Mary is our pattern and our guide. For if you know Jesus as your Saviour, praise him for your salvation as she did for hers. Make it your joy in these days running up to Christmas to praise Jesus as your Saviour. And if as yet you don't know Jesus as your Saviour, you might well hear the call of God on your life that leads to a conversion of the heart. Mary's song. Now, I've got three words to describe Mary's testimony about her Lord. And they all begin with M, like all old preachers, like alliteration. So I hope this is helpful to you when we look at what Mary's song has. First of all, the Lord is the mindful one. Look down at verses 46 to 48 there. And Mary said, my soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Saviour, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed. If you were God, wouldn't it seem to you a very risky strategy to accomplish the plan of salvation of the world, the whole world, dependent upon the response of a teenage Jewish girl from the backwater of the Roman Empire? But she was a perfect choice. God had been mindful of the humble state of his servant Mary. Mary was a well-informed, godly woman with a worshipful servant heart. She knows her scriptures well, and she quotes Psalm 107 and verse 9. He satisfies the hungry with good things. The scope of her understanding of the ways and works of God is really impressive. The confidence in her faith is even more impressive. To be an effective bringer of the good news of Jesus surely needs a nobody special in the world's eyes, because from that humble heart comes obedience, worship, and service. I don't know about you, but I wonder if you, or I for that matter, are content to be a nobody special, and simply wanting to make Jesus the center of your thinking, your speaking, and your doing. And if, like Mary, that's you, then God can use you, and God will use you. So the Lord is the mindful one. Now the next part, the Lord is the mighty one, verses 49 to 53. Let me read those to you. For the mighty one has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. I've got the Magnificat in my mind. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but he has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things and has sent the rich away empty. He has done great things for me, she says. My spirit rejoices in God my Savior. Yes, even at this stage, the baby in the womb is worthy of her worship. He, Jesus, is her Savior. Then there are the mighty things that God has done in the world and is doing in the world. Those who are proud and arrogant in their inmost thoughts, those who think they know best, will not be able to band together so that we will be forced to think their way. That's not going to happen. They will be scattered and rendered ineffective against the coming of this, his, Jesus's kingdom. Rulers will be brought down and the humble lifted up. What a marvelous truth. The hungry will be fed and the rich will be sent away empty. When you read these verses, the oh too familiar order of things in the world has been turned completely on its head. Think what an encouragement that is today, when half the world's Christian believers are poor, hungry, or oppressed, or some of them all three. Herod may be king, but another kingdom is coming. Hallelujah. Coming from a place from the back of beyond Bethlehem. A king to be born of a young Jewish virgin. What about today's rulers and today's power brokers? Well, there is news that they don't want to hear. Another kingdom is here. And as the Christmas carol proclaims, joy to the world, the Saviour reigns. So, Mary's song. And the last part, and more briefly, verses 50. And 54 and 55. Verse 50. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation, and verses 54 and 55. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, even as he said to our fathers. So my third point is the Lord is the merciful one. He is to those who fear him. And that word fear there is easily misunderstood. We're not to be literally frightened of God. Fearful of God means to count him worthy, to take God at his word. Israel, his chosen, beloved people, with all their failure and all their rebellion, God's unchanging mercy towards them, Abraham and his descendants forever. The Lord is indeed the merciful one. So as I finish now, what a song. What a song this is. Mary carried the living word of God in her body. Our task is to bring the living word of Scripture to bear in our lives and in the world around us. Mary was very well informed about the world around her, and so should we be as well. If we are like Mary, we are willing, and God will make us able. I was a chorister in the 1950s, and every Sunday evening we chanted the Magnificat, and woe betide any of us who got it wrong. Well, I recall singing the Magnificat, and it was a really dreary kind of song too. Well, the way we sang it, it was a real crime for such a wonderful song that came out of this joy shared Mary with Elizabeth. They knew the promise of Israel, and they knew the place of their children in it. Through their children, John and Jesus, it was shortly to be fulfilled. God was coming to the rescue of his people, and the Gentiles were to be included too. So may God put a song in your heart and a song in my heart and on our lips this Christmas time. For the God that Mary sings about is the mindful one, the mighty one, and the merciful one. He was, he is, and he is to come. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's pray. Father God, we rejoice with Mary this day. I'd just like to read to you Mary's song in the Message version of these scriptures, because it's full of life. And just before I read it, just ask the Holy Spirit to put a song of joy in your heart. How much we need this song of joy. And remember that joy is so much deeper than happiness. And is not dependent upon what is going on in the world. That the Holy Spirit will give us that gift, that we can have joy in our hearts. The sort of joy that Mary has. And the joy that we have of reading this in the scriptures. So this is how it goes. And Mary said, I'm bursting with good news. I'm dancing the song of my Saviour God. God took one good look at me, and look what happened. I'm the most fortunate woman on earth. What God has done for me will never be forgotten. The God whose very name is holy, set apart from all others. His mercy flows in wave after wave on those who are in awe before him. He bared his arm and showed his strength, scattered the bluffing braggarts. He knocked tyrants off their high horses, pulled victims out of the mud. The starving poor sat down to a banquet. The callous rich were left out in the cold. He embraced his chosen child Israel. He remembered and piled on the mercies, piled them high. It's exactly what he promised, beginning with Abraham and right up to now. Help us, Lord, to share in Mary's joy. For we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.